What is the purpose of Lent for you? What's the purpose of Lent for me? I know this parish and its liturgical committee has given us a way of expressing it by saying, journey into shalom. And of course, we talked last week at all the masses about what shalom is all about. Shalom is not just not discomforting another person. It's actually working for their betterment. Wow. It adds a whole new dimension. We use the word peace. We mean I'm not going to cause you any discomfort. But when you raise it to shalom level, it means I also have to work to make you, if I can, help you to be all that you can possibly be. Wow. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? Well, then the second week of Lent kind of says what we're in for if we're actually on a journey to be transfigured, transformed, changed into a better person. First of all, the first reading says, folks, you and I have to leave our comfort zone. You youngsters don't understand that yet, but when the older you get, the more comfortable you get in your own space and time, and you don't want any change. So we keep our prejudices. They're nice prejudices, but we keep them, and we don't want to change anything. And so, sisters and brothers, the challenge is, that ain't good enough. If you and I are actually going to be people of shalom, we have to break out of our comfort zone. And that's the first reading, just so simple. And then the second reading says what we need to hear. It's going to be painful. I love it. There's no hiding. Endure the hardships for those who are going to follow the good news of Jesus our Christ. It says you and I are going to have to do a little suffering. Well, that makes all the sense in the world, because ultimately shalom means I've got to become much more compassionate. I have to forget a little bit more about myself and start thinking about you guys. And that is not easy. I want to share some examples of this that I have heard in the last week or so. I was talking to the fourth child of six. When he was a small boy, his father came down with tuberculosis, and he had to go to a sanatorium. That left mother with six kids. And he told the story of a couple who every day of the week drove in the morning. The mother got out, or the wife got out, and took care of the children. The father took the wife and to the sanatorium, and then he went on to work. And when he came home from work, he picked her up and brought her home, and his wife got in the car, and they went home. Sisters and brothers, that's shalom. And what was the relationship? Were they family? Were they kith and kin? No. They were members of the parish. Months. And that brings up something. You know, sometimes when we get out of our comfort zone and we do something good for someone else, we really feel good. We have one of those better experiences of life. But when you have to do it every day or every month or however you do, when you dedicate yourself to the long haul, it becomes a burden. There are some days I'm sure he wanted to sleep in, and I am sure one of those days or two that woman didn't want to face four kids at home while two went off to school. Come on. You know, and I know that what that cost. Well, right here in this parish, not too long ago, a woman lost her husband, and she didn't have a lot of family in this area. Matter of fact, she hasn't known a family in the area. Well, who helped her take care of the funeral arrangements? Who is taking her here, there, and everywhere? Who is a group of people from a mass that they sat with? That's shalom. We take responsibility for each other. We don't think of our own need. We feel the pain of our neighbor, and we try to alleviate it and allow them to have greater peace. Sisters and brothers, that's shalom. Maybe there's an indication that it's breaking through on us, especially here in this community. I want to stress our responsibility to each other. And that is, of course, when you and I normally like to sit in the same place, right, during Mass. Like I like to sit right over there. But when someone you always see isn't here, that you notice that and start asking, has anyone seen so-and-so? That's the beginning of shalom. I begin to feel I am less because you're not here. That's what shalom is. Shalom is relationship, sisters and brothers. It's not learning how to pray with new words and new ideas. It's relationship with one another. For that's the message of Jesus. Jesus is calling us to become friends with one another, take responsibility for one another, actually live out this concept of shalom. I want to go back then to the gospel's idea of that mountaintop experience, that good experience, when a relationship really is working out and all of a sudden it's wow. Now, those are important, and we should have them, but we're not going to have them all the time. That's why the story says there was this mountaintop experience, but then Jesus said, as they come down to the mountain, remember this, but don't talk about it. What it's really saying is you needed this, because when you're in the valley, you're going to be at low points, and you have to have energy and remembrance to carry it on. Many of us have had mountaintop experiences with our religion. We may have been to a liturgy, maybe our own wedding or a funeral of a loved one that turned around where the grief actually became meaningful and all of a sudden one was finding greater peace. Well, we have all had them, but you know, that doesn't stay. And I loved the quip, how it explains these things. I went on many retreats, and normally a retreat, especially when you get to know each other and you get to like each other and you begin to really have that sense of, hey, we're down home with the family, and you have to leave, you say to yourself, And someone came up with the brilliant way of celebrating that by just using one of the ancient prayers we use all the time, and that's the glory be. After a retreat, it's the experience, first of all, is glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Then, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, because we have to come down to earth. That's why these stories that I shared, especially of that one of the couple, that struck me when I hear it, and I'll never forget it, because I am sure that doing it for months of commitment was not easy. Now, my question to you is, what do you think of the concept of shalom? What are you thinking about as I talk about the requirements and some of the experiences that will happen if we are being transfigured, if we are being changed, if we are actually entering the shalom? What are some of your thoughts about this process?